Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 430, the question of the bloom being off the rose, or you're not that hot. Not too long ago, all kinds of technology was new. There was an excitement about it. These days, I'm not so sure that things work as well as people say they will or are. Is this a perception that I have that is really an illusion, or is this real? And I will ask that as a question, and I'll tell you why shortly. Are our institutions failing to deliver on their promise in podcast 430? Well, as you know, X Government Cars has been a longtime sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts, and I also do Ed's spots on the radio, and occasionally I like to include the radio spots in the Bob Davis Podcast. So here we go. I'm here with Star White of XGovernmentCars.com.
Yes.
And XGovernmentTrucks.com, now open in Forest Lake.
Yes.
Hey, Star, are there still great cash deals direct from owner Ed Johnson?
Yes.
Do you offer great financing options?
Yes.
With rates as low as 2.5%?
Yes.
Wait, what about bad credit?
Yes.
And bankruptcies too?
Yes.
Low down payments?
Yes.
Affordable monthly payments?
Yes.
And what about trades?
Yes.
Are these cars always professionally maintained?
Yes.
Is there a 3-day peace of mind guarantee?
Yes.
XGovernmentCars.com.
So you should get your butt down to XGovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North, Golden Valley.
Yes.
Or call 763-533-6226. That's 763-533-6226.
Yes!
And X-Government Trucks now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Oh, yes!
Well, I just finished a fabulous pan-fried steak, which I understand now that you're not supposed to eat. I had some green beans with bacon. You put bacon in your green beans, they're awesome. Not supposed to do that either. So now bacon is a cancer. It's worse than cigarettes, according to some international health agency. And I'm sitting back. I got my coffee. You can hear the refrigerator running in the background. And I'm up in the living room because of an ongoing technology issue that I'm going to talk about in this podcast, podcast 430. And this is something that can be a hard thing to talk about. And it isn't because it's a difficult subject or it's personal or anything like that. But it's elusive. This is an elusive topic to do a podcast on, and it's really not something that can be confirmed that I know of with independent data. It's just a feeling that I have. And it may be something that I've noticed in passing, or maybe this is something other people have noticed in passing for a long time or not. And I'm not quite sure when we crossed the line when I started to notice this stuff. I couldn't give you a date. And my son told me I'm crazy, that I shouldn't do this podcast this way. And I said, I'm going to do it. So the best way to describe this is back in 2004 or 5, things like iPhones, portable computers, on-demand television, and to a lesser extent, audio like this podcast, various smartphones, all kinds of other technologies, had that fresh out-of-the-box smell. And we were happy to have it. We were amazed when it worked, and we were all in it together, and there was a sort of a sense of team. Yay, you know, we're working this out. We're working this problem, and we figured it out, and it's working. And we weren't very critical of the technology when it didn't work because, as I said, we were part of this frontier. And this is just 10 years ago. This is really amazing that this is literally, you know, 8, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years when this stuff was new. Now we expect everything to work right now, and it's supposed to work perfectly. And I would include myself in that. I get frustrated when things don't work exactly the way they're supposed to, because that seems to be the presentation of the companies that make this stuff, and or maybe it's our expectations from our experience. And it seems more and more like the story being told is, and I say story being told is, we in the West. Okay, so that's United States and Western Europe, for the most part, are innovators. We're competent. We're on this. We've got this. And it isn't necessarily true. In fact, it might even be a flat-out lie, not even a truism. As far as Western companies, Volkswagen is a great example of a company that supposedly was going to be able to create a diesel engine that got great mileage and delivered great performance. But in fact, it was just simply software, and it was a giant lie. And now the company is suffering from a huge credibility issue as a result of that. I don't necessarily need examples for this podcast. I'll give you a bunch of them, and I would also, I'm sure that others will have examples as well. So what provoked this? Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about technology. Let me put this coffee over here. It's the Mixer story, and I'm not going to use the name of the company because I have been, my training in radio has been that when you're on the air, you don't use the radio as a battle axe to bludgeon people that you've had a bad or a problem with in terms of customer service or a product. So if you're working as a talk show host somewhere and you rent a car and your car falls apart, you don't go on the air and start talking about Hertz and how they suck. You know, it's just bad form and it's unprofessional. And, you know, the companies that you work for don't do that. I also think that it's kind of impolite or rude to do it. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to tag this podcast with the name of the company and the item in question and a few other things, because I think people who are using the product should know what I'm talking about. So I use a mixer, a FireWire mixer, to do podcasts in my studio. So what it does is, through the FireWire connection on a Mac, it delivers the audio through the Mac so that you can hear what you're doing while you're doing it. You play it back through studio monitors, and this is the way. And also, I can bring in three mics or four mics and music, or you know, if I'm doing a Skype call or something like that, I can bring it in through another channel and isolate it and process it and things like that. So it's an essential item if you're going to do podcasting or any kind of radio production work using Macs or even PCs, right? And so I had this mixer, and I bought it. I think I bought the original one probably in 2010, so it's at least 5 years old. It may even be older than that, because I bought it right after I first started doing podcasting. And I will tell you that when I bought it, two or three different ideas for being able to mix didn't work. So this was the final fix, and it worked great. And I will tell you, it is a fabulous mixer. It sounds great. The Phantom Power is quiet. It's a great piece of equipment. So I had a problem with one of the volume controls for the microphones finally broke. So the switches just kind of died, and I need to get it repaired. So, you know, it will get repaired. So I thought, well, I love this mixer. I'll just go buy a duplicate. So I bought the duplicate mixer. I got it home, and it does not, the computer does not see it. So, okay, problem. How does this get fixed? Download the drivers. Download the drivers. Doesn't work. So I thought, okay, this is odd and strange. So I started looking at the forums, and the forums will tell you that none of the people that are using this particular mixer right now are having a problem with El Capitan or Yosemite actually seeing the mixer. And so with the new Macs, it doesn't work, or with the new OS X, it doesn't work. It just doesn't see it. So okay, I'm going to call the company and I'm going to find out what's going on. Call the company. Obviously, they have support, but the support isn't there 24 hours a day. So then I sent a message to support. Never heard back from them. So I started to get irritated, you know, and I just called the president of the company and left a message for the president of the company last night. And then today got up and called support. And basically, support said, yeah, we have no plans to put any drivers out to support this mixer. So I paid $500 for a piece of equipment that's useless, basically, at this point. Now, the fix is a little tricky. I'm going to have to go back to Mavericks, basically, because Mavericks supports this thing. Here's what happened, and I want to tell people what happened. What had happened was this company... The chipset for the FireWire in the mixer was no longer made. So they had to go to a new chipset called Dice. Dice is not supported by Apple with the new OS X. And rather than build a new driver to do that, they just kept selling the mixer without telling anybody it's not supported by Mac OS X, right? X, whatever the new, I call it, it's called El Capitan or Yosemite or the new operating systems. And I was shocked. And some of the comments in the forums were like, this is shocking that a company this big would just willingly blow this off and not realize that there are people out there buying this mixer. And everybody in the creative community, almost everyone in the creative community uses Macs. I don't understand. I don't know what they think we're out here with PCs, but generally almost everyone uses Macs because of the difficulties in actually making equipment work with PCs usually. So in my view, so I mean, you have to really understand the operating systems with Microsoft and everything else to go through all the messages to get this stuff to work. And I'm pretty good at figuring out these problems and working solutions, and I think I found a creative solution. Well, I just want to tell everybody, you know, the president of the company called me back. We had a great conversation today, and he told me the story that they didn't even know this was a problem until 90 days ago when people started calling. And I'm like, well, you know, you need to know that that Guitar Center is selling it at a discount, and two, people are upgrading and buying new computers, and they're upgrading to El Capitan or Yosemite, and they're finding out that their mixer that has this Dice chipset doesn't work anymore. And he said, well, we're probably gonna go ahead and go one more spin on the driver so that it will work, but then put out a message and tell them we're discontinuing this mixer and it won't work anymore as you go to higher and higher operating systems. And so now I have to wait for that. Meanwhile, I've got an event this weekend, which I'll tell you, I'm going to do a live podcast with Jason Lewis, and it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of chewing gum and baling wire I come up with in the truck to be able to do a live podcast with Jason so you can hear it outside the truck. So that should be good. But I'll tell you more about that as we get down in the podcast in terms of where we're going to be. So that's the story, and that's the thing that really, at first it ticked me off. I'm not flailing the company because the guy took the time to call me back and explain the problem and tell me that he was just talking with the engineering staff about fixing it. So that's really cool. And I don't, you know, I was very appreciative of the fact that he called me back, but I think I'm probably one of the few who actually called the president of the company. I'm probably, if I'm not the only one, I'm probably one of the few who has to try to make an effort to help them understand what it's like out here when you're in a small business and you spend $500, it's a big deal. And I'm not bitching and whining. I just want people to know what's happening. And it isn't just companies like this. Now, this is fairly sophisticated technology. So, you know, on one hand, you would say, well, it should work. On the other hand, you can expect problems because there always are. The thing is, you hear this all the time. People say things don't work as well as they used to. And most people that I know think it's because things aren't made with strong enough materials anymore. But I'm referring to the idea that we all have to be amazing with a great story, and we all have to be involved in the community and doing great things. It isn't enough anymore to make a great toaster. You have to make a great toaster that also is solar powered and made by Aboriginals in the outback who are paid a living wage. If you work for a company, you have to make a pilgrimage to the outback or whatever and stay with the locals where your toaster is made, posting the obligatory pics on Facebook and Twitter of you helping them build a school or put in a well for fresh water or something. It isn't good enough anymore that companies make money by putting out good products or delivering a great service. The other thing is that bigger companies seem to have so many HR services as approaches and protocols, and people who work for these companies never seem to know what to do. One of my experiences at a big broadcasting company was that they were insistent that I get on their company email system, which you would then get just tons of email from, you know, Joe and Frank are getting together in the kitchen to celebrate Margaret's birthday and you should be there. And, you know, if you want, and we're having a general, and I'm like, so what I would do is I would just never, and the way it worked is you had to go on or it wouldn't recognize your password after 30 days. And so I would never go on there because I figured if they needed me, they would call me and I just would never go on. And I was always in the engineering department having them reset my password. And I was finally called in and told, these guys are really upset because you keep changing the password. And I was, you know, humble and apologetic. But honestly, if I ever work for another company, which I hope that I never do, I'm just going to tell them up front, I don't want to be a part of your stupid email. I'm not interested in HR. I'll buy my own insurance. I don't want to have anything to do with this backroom operation stuff at your company, because most of the time it's nothing but trouble and irritation and complexities. And for creative people, it's a giant pain in the ass. So that's one of the things that I see at these companies. A few months ago, and this is really something that's amazing, I had an emergency problem with a piece of software. And I went into an Apple store where they have always been welcoming and smiling and courteous no matter what your problem was. And I said, I've got this emergency problem. I need to talk to somebody at the Genius Bar. We're booked up. Well, can you just take a couple of minutes to help me solve this problem? Because I'm on deadline. I need to get this solved. There's nothing we can do for you. There's nothing we can do for you. This is in Washington, D.C. And we don't care you're having a problem that's time sensitive. That's not our problem. Good luck. Well, I ended up figuring it out. But when I go to the Apple store these days, they don't seem as happy to see me, the customer, as they used to be. You run the gauntlet of the guys who say, hey, they don't really know anything. They don't know as much as the guys in the back. And then if you want to get to the back, you have to make an appointment. And then when you go back there, there's nobody back there. So even the Apple store is turning into an experience similar to ordering fast food or standing at the Delta ticket counter or the, you know, America West ticket counter and having a bored, angry, overworked, multitask ticket agent take your ticket and tell you are not going to be able to get to Biloxi tonight, and you have to basically work that person. So you end up having to be the salesperson to try to get them on your side so that you can get to Biloxi tonight through no fault of your own, or, you know, somehow get to the gate and sneak onto the plane or bamboozle your way on board. So those are a couple of examples. We all know the stories about Comcast. The latest thing with AT&T is that they're trying to convince people to come off the unlimited data plans because everybody is using data, so they don't want you to use the unlimited data plan anymore. And you tell them what you're trying to do, and they just go right on trying to work whatever protocol they've been told to work to get you off of your data plan. And you have to be prepared for that and to refuse to go off of your data plan. I've told the story about the companies that have tried to get me to give up all of my feeds so that they can be the exclusive purveyors of my podcast. And I refuse to do it. And it's like, this is why we want you to do this. And you talk to them for an hour and a half and they don't listen and they just keep talking. And finally, I just realize in these conversations, you know, you're just talking to a brick wall. So I just say, hey, great talking to you. Thanks a lot. Anyway, I mean, the difference is that in 2005 and 6, the Apple store was thrilled to see people come through the door and they were very, very happy. Now it's, did you make an appointment for the Genius Bar? No. Well, our earliest time is next Thursday between 11 and 3. And then literally they turn around and start talking to somebody else. So this happened to me tonight. They turn around. Yeah, dude, it was so amazing last night. And they don't even they've dealt with you and it's time for them to go. That's not very good customer service. And from Apple, it's unbelievable. And so when I talk about customer service, I'm going to talk about a company, prideofhomes.com, that I've actually seen some pretty good reviews of customer service on. So let me start by saying history demonstrates that one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. There are a lot of people out there that are renting while they wait to purchase their first home or move up to the next home. And in the last 5 years or so, there's been a lot of foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time. So when you consider buying a house, you got to realize that the market, the houses, some of them have been sitting there for a long time. Some of them have been renovated by these fly-by-night house flippers. And you need someone who knows the market to negotiate that risk. You need real estate professionals. Interest rates also have been near historically low levels for many years. There is pressure to raise them, and we may see an increase in interest rates in December. I'm not saying that will happen, but it's hard to tell. And so it's a great time to take advantage of low interest rates. If you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. So this gets back to this question of knowing the market and knowing individual houses on the market. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aaron Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro corridor. Whether you're buying or listing for real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate. And as I mentioned, I got a message on Facebook this week that said that Luke Team was amazing with customer service. So it's good to know that. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, or you can call them 763-433-9100. Eric and Aram Lucera with prideofhomes.com and Luke Team Real Estate. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the podcast. So the worst offender these days here is government. And it doesn't matter whether it is a federal, state, local council or board or the town government. They are trying to project an image of competence and concern and performance. I live in a small community, and I get these really high quality, very expensive communication pieces printed on recycled paper that's very thick, high gauge paper that's got beautiful graphics and pictures of happy community residents standing next to trees and everything else, and talks about recycling and plastic bag bans and all those kinds of things, and how this is such a wonderful community to live in. You drive by the city hall, and I mean, it's an $18 million city hall, and there's 300 employees down there for a village of, I don't know, 60,000, maybe not even that, 20,000 people. So they're projecting an image of competence and concern and performance. We've got this. We've got your back. We will be able to do this. We're an incredible place. And, you know, on Saturday, October 15th is the day that you bring your dead refrigerator to the dump, and we'll take it for you and everything else. But when you look into this a little deeper, you find out they don't necessarily have your back, and they're not necessarily on top of it. The Obamacare rollout is one example. Local police enforcement problems are another example. For example, I hate to say, I keep saying for example, but local police forces have varying degrees of competence. And as we found out in Ferguson initially, now I'm not talking about the shooting of the guy that caused all the hassle in Ferguson, Illinois, Missouri rather, but the fact that the police department really didn't handle the aftermath very well. They overreacted. So you've got varying degrees of competence with police departments. Every state exchange for Obamacare has had problems. What about the IRS and its competency problems? 120,000 pages of tax code, and they can't even answer the questions that individuals have. Some of the agents at the IRS can't answer the questions. The Secret Service is bumbling around, and if you actually take the time to look into Secret Service questions, you'll find out that they're not as competent as they say they are. On 9/11/2001, the United States had the preeminent espionage and defense technology in the world. And we failed to even get an inkling that a problem was coming. And yet we seem to have all this technology that's supposed to help us be able to do these things. But this doesn't stop officials from sounding like they have everything covered. They're on top of it. They are, you fill in the blank. We're here from the government, and we're ready to help, and we're really competent, and we're going to do a great job. The thing is, they don't. And as I said, you can pick an institution in our society, business, religion, any kind of government, education. If you look close enough, you're going to see that there are cracks, and sometimes they're catastrophic mistakes and dangerous mistakes. And this is where we get into this question of government power being dangerous, because they're not as competent as they make out to be, whether it's Amtrak or the post office or the Secret Service or the CIA or any of these places. And alternately, the storyline in the media is that the CIA guys are spooks and they're really on top of everything and they're using their power against the people. But then when you hear what's actually going on, they don't seem to be as competent as people think. And you later on, you read books about people who said, hey, you know, this is going to happen. You need to look at this. And no one listens to them. I've had more than one person remark to me these days, you know, I can't believe you got back to me, because I call people back. No one calls back, they'll say, you know, and I know with people that talk to other people in companies, they don't get calls back. They can call. Nobody calls back. And that's especially true in radio. Nobody ever calls you back. People who work for big companies are increasingly confused about goals, direction, what they're supposed to be doing. And management doesn't seem to help, whether there's too many middle managers, whether there aren't enough middle managers, whether it's all being controlled from the corporate office and the middle managers seem to be just button men and women who just order things to be done. Sometimes I wonder whether anyone's doing any work. I've talked to more than one CEO of companies, people that I deal with, who say, I don't think people work as hard as they say. They'll say, oh, I'm so busy. I've got all this. I've got to get this report out. A report for what? Well, I've got to get this report out to these people what kind of report? Well, I have to tell them what I've done about this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, well, don't they know? I mean, can't they tell what you're doing if you're getting results? Why do they need a report? You know what I'm saying? And you hear that all the time. So you've got people doing busy work. You've got people putting out reports after reports after reports. I don't think anyone reads these reports. Someone I talked to said they got, we were talking at yoga and somebody was saying, you know, I got 1,000 emails today. 1,000 emails. And I said, well, what do you do with those emails? And she said, I try to answer them, but I can't because I don't. It's just, how do you answer 1,000 emails? I'll tell you how I would answer them. And this is recent. Nobody responds to email. I would select all and delete because I'm not going to respond to 1,000 emails. That's absurd. And you see this kind of thing all the time. And I'm saying this stuff as blatant statements, but they're really almost asking these as questions. Do you find the same thing happening to you? If you are in your 20s or 30s, and I know there's a few people listening that are 18 to 34 to these podcasts, I'd love to know if you find this to be true as well. Because when I talked to my son, who's 24, he was like, I don't think you should do that podcast that way. And that's why I'm asking this stuff as a question rather than making it as a statement. And I guess I'm guilty too, but I do respond to my emails, but I don't get 1,000 emails a day. And just in terms of customer service, what I'm learning through the audiobook and the Chieftain 2021 is I'll get an email from somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning. And if I'm up, I will respond to them and say, here's what's going to happen with your download file. If you have a problem, email me back and I'll reset your file. Blah, 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 or Mitch will respond to them because I want to make sure, I mean, Mitch is a contractor, but it's my company. I want to make sure that if people order something, they get it and it works for them. And if they don't, that's a great experience for me to try to figure out how I'm going to do customer service for retail, things like the book, because I want people to hear it and I want people to be happy with the experience that they're having at the website and not upset. I've talked a lot about the world being at the end of an era, and really in particular, the United States. And it seems like another one of those things that has to do with an era question. It feels like the things that seemed to work so well 10 years ago or 15 years ago, the things that seemed so incredible 15 or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, aren't as incredible. And I don't know whether we have raised our expectations to the point where we expect things to be better than they are, and we don't understand that they aren't that much better, or whether things are actually degrading. Do we really understand what innovation is and what's required to get there? Someone I know once described creativity as taking two different things and putting them together to create something completely new. And are we doing that when we're creative, or do we think we're creative? In other words, are we trying to tell this amazing story about ourselves? Meanwhile, we're insensitive to customers' needs. We are forcing customers to follow a protocol or protocols in order to be heard. It's a great example, as I said earlier, is calling the president of this company because I had to take a few steps. It took me a little while to get hold of this guy. Another one that frustrates the hell out of me is asking customers to do the work. You'll walk up to order a cup of coffee or to get something like a box of pens, and you just want to get out of the store, and you have to stand there while you're looking down at the counter, and you know the where there's gum and there's horoscopes in those rolls that you can buy, and there's those little bright colored animal keychains, weird stuff like that, and Hello Kitty cups and crap like that on the counter when the counter should be clear of crap. And then on the other side, there's a giant box of paper sitting there with a piece of paper with something written on it in Sharpie that says, paper on special this week. And then they say, are you a member of the rewards program? And then you say no, and they say, well, would you like to be? And it's like there's six people standing behind me. And I did have this conversation at one point. I said to this guy, you know what? Why am I the one that has to do all the work? Why is it me that has to do all the work to get the reward? If you want to give me a discount, give me the damn discount right now. Don't make me do a bunch of stuff to get 10% off a box of paper. If you want to give it to me, give it to me. If not, shut up and let me pay. And I mean, I very seldom react that way. But he goes, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And it was great that he said that. But they're making him do that, you know. And it doesn't matter whether it's a grocery store or wherever. The customer is asked to do the work, to get the reward, to jump through the hoops, to do it. And I suppose some people don't mind, but how valuable is your time? It's your time that's being used to get the quote-unquote discount so that you'll come back. Now, these kinds of programs were very popular in 1996 because they were new and people were like, wow, this is really cool. But in 2016, it seems a little silly and bothersome. Give me the discount or check me out and let me go and don't ask me all these questions. The other one is running the help desk like it's the ticket counter at the airport, where it's just a chore for them to reroute you through Chicago because you don't want to go through Green Bay because the weather's bad or whatever it is. You know, you have to be the salesperson and convince them that you're a great guy so they'll want to help you. Then there's cues, music on hold that's the same music over and over again. Why can't they put, you know, Spotify on the phone or something? And the worst offender here is GoDaddy, where they have three songs. They have the banjo music, they have the upbeat jazz music, and then they have the, you know, techno kind of chill music. And if you happen to catch GoDaddy at high service times, you will sit there and listen to one song after another, but it's the same three songs. And you're about ready to shoot yourself by the time you finally talk to some insensitive, cold, or unintelligible, or unable to help desk person. And if you get a good one, you are like, I need your name and number and your company number so that I can always call you because you're amazing. The other one is requiring customers to write emails for help rather than talk to a human being or to be contacted back, and then people don't get back to you. This is a huge problem in LA where nobody returns calls. It's a huge problem in the entertainment business for years, but it's starting to be a huge problem in other kinds of businesses where people just don't call you back no matter what you're trying to do. Maybe you're trying to give them money and they don't call you back. Or when you finally get a hold of them, they try to upsell you when you call in with a problem. So they're trying to get you to get off of the data plan, or they're trying to get you to take all of the other services. And then when you want to try to do a la carte, they won't let you do it. And the main thing here is they don't listen to the customer and try to listen to as the problem is explained to solve it. Now, some companies do it better than others. And I don't mean to spend so much time on customer service, but I guess what I'm saying is I'm seeing this competency that we have supposedly been sold starting to slowly but surely degrade. And I think a lot of the competency is that it's given up in this idea that, first of all, there's a lot of time spent to make sure that people have this amazing, incredible story. People are described as incredible or genius or brilliant or great, and they seem to be normal people otherwise. Or it's the story about how this guy came from a family of one-legged mice and became the CEO. Or she lived in the trailer park by herself as a 10-year-old, and now she's the manager of the HR department. Or he spent 5 years in the jungles of the Amazon building schools for locals and living in a grass hut, or skateboarded across the United States, and now he's the CEO. If you don't have some kind of amazing, incredible, freaky, brilliant, stunning story, and I pity the millennials who are really in the middle of this, where they have to have this incredible story. And everyone then works to turn their normal everyday, grew up in the suburbs, went to the big high school, played hockey, went to college, got this job story into he had a terrible childhood. His dad was an alcoholic. He fell out of a window, nearly died, managed to come back. He was nearly killed at 12. He excelled at lacrosse in college. He was the only guy from the community who did that, and then spent a year with some indigenous people in Australia or Africa, and you fill in the blank from this. And none of this makes the company better. Having a great environmental outreach program does not make Walmart a better company at selling stuff cheaper, which is why I go there. Target sponsoring the yearly breast cancer walk does not make it a better place to shop. Having the guy at Costco ask me to donate to the United Children's Fund to put one of those stupid paper balloons up on the wall does not make them a better company. Solar-powered plants does not mean the Ford factory is building a better car, and so on and so on. So how we use all this technology to make companies more efficient, better customer service, make better products, better government, delivering better services is really the question, rather than delivering technology that works sometimes or services that underwhelm customers or a general degradation in business models. How do we change the flow of work so people are able to get at least back to people who call or write or understand, or more importantly, for those employees so that they don't have 2,000 emails every Monday morning or have to work all weekend to answer emails and never have any time off and they're exhausted because they're constantly in contact with higher-ups and so forth? Is it higher levels of regulation and taxation that force these companies to do these PR things so you work all week and then on Saturday you're expected to hand out water at the Twin Cities Marathon? Is that people are overwhelmed today? Are they overwhelmed or are they not? Are they overwhelmed because they're allowing themselves to be caught up in all this minutia? Or are the expectations that we have of companies too high? Maybe people in general just aren't as competent as we think we are. And in terms of government and services that are really essential, like insurance and hospitals and communications and so forth, creating expectations that these are populated with people who care about you or care in general, and then act just like any other half-assed company or department of the city government or federal government, I think is dangerous. And I think if a Walking Dead scenario ever actually happened, the highly competent and all-seeing government probably wouldn't be there, even though the story is that they would be, that FEMA would be there to help solve, save us, but they weren't there in New Orleans. And I think the opposite is true. I think that the government struggles to be competent, and I think most of the time it isn't. I think big companies struggle to be competent, and most of the time aren't. I'm not sure that we were ever that competent. I will tell you a quick story, because we're almost out, about a guy who worked at IBM back in the 60s, and he was in the typewriter servicing department. And their job was to service typewriters. And they would get these requests that were broken down into quadruplet. And then there were inboxes, and every manager got these service requests along the way. And so the typewriter would have to be sent back to IBM, or they would go get it, or they would send somebody out, and their job was to take care of that. And at one point, they were so behind, they had these giant stacks of requests, and the guy, apparently the president of the company was coming, and this guy's workmate said, "What do we do? We're way behind." And he said, "You know, just throw them down the trash chute into the incinerator, because if it's that important, we'll get another request." And that's what they did. And the guy thought they were the best, most competent people in the company because they had three or four requests on their desk. So I kind of think sometimes we're in an every man for himself situation. And if we were ever really challenged, we'd have to solve our own problems. And I believe we could, I think, because I believe human beings can. But I like to believe that people in this country are competent and could. But that's different from depending on institutions to solve problems or help us, including government. And I think that's something that we should be talking about and thinking about, because things are not as great as they seem. You are not as hot as you think you are. The company is not as great as it says it is. And the government is not as competent as it thinks it is. Thanks for listening to Podcast 430, sponsored by prideofhomes.com, a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. As I mentioned in the little blurb that I did about those guys earlier, it's about figuring out the market because so many of these houses have been flipped or they have been sitting empty, and you need people that really understand the market. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, the North Metro Corridor in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Visit Eric and Aaron Lucero and Luke Team Real Estate at prideofhomes.com or call them at 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Well, you heard it here first. You heard about xgovernmentcars.com first on the Bob Davis podcast, and now xgovernment trucks you've also heard on the Bob Davis podcast first. They are now open in Forest Lake. xgovernmenttrucks.com now open at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake, or you can call them at 763-777-8782 or visit them online at xgovernmenttrucks.com. You can click on the X Government Cars banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast. They got great lending for everybody. All levels of credit can qualify. Get your butt down to X Government Trucks in Forest Lake. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. Now, I mentioned earlier I'm going to be doing a podcast with Jason Lewis live in Lakeville on Halloween, which is going to be Saturday in podcast time. It's going to be at the Main Street Cafe at 20788 Holyoke Avenue in Lakeville. They got a big parking area next to the site bar, restaurant, and patio. Senator Dave Thompson's going to be there. It should be a really fun gathering because this is a little bit different group than what you're used to seeing on the right side of the political spectrum. So I'm going to, we'll figure out, we'll see. You'll actually be able to see my mixer in action if I get the thing fixed by that time, or you'll see my Rube Goldberg method for having you be able to hear the podcast, but it should be a lot of fun. And email me if you want more information on that. I want to thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis podcast, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and we want you to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. We want it to be part of your avionics package because the bottom line is that Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. You'll see it right up there. Click on that banner, takes you to their page, and that is awesome. Thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. Thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Somebody just sent me $100. The guy said, I just listened to 100 of your podcasts. They're great. I figure $1 a podcast is pretty cool, and keep Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8 running, and I really, really appreciated that. It is so great to get these donations. What I'm doing is planning winter operations. Got new tires on it, and we are preparing to, right now it's being checked to make sure I can let it sit and idle for hours and have the heat on and make sure everything works. And we're going to be headed down to Iowa for the caucuses on February 1st. I think we're going to be in Greene County. And then we're going to go on down to South Carolina, which is one of those early primary states. And I may run across some of the states that'll be, there for Super Tuesday down in the Mid-South, Tennessee and states like that. And then on down to Florida, where I'm going to cover some more events. Now, this trip is being planned, so I'm going to actually plan to visit and do some events and interview some people. I'm not just going to be driving around willy-nilly, but they're going to be great podcasts, so I appreciate your donations. And I've gone on long enough. Thanks for listening to Podcast 430, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Back to the coffee. Bye-bye.